Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm John Senecal, along with my co-host Brian Shackman. And almost 2 months into the baseball season, and the AL East is insane right now, and Major League Baseball in general is insane. We got no hitters, we got records going to be shattered if you predict them out, but let's start in the AL East, Brian. Yankees, Red Sox, and the Rays are all jumbled up.
So the situation is, I mean, we've talked about this before, how we don't think necessarily the Red Sox are a first-place team. The Yankees probably have the most talent in the division, and now all three teams are bunched together. And we might have a situation, and this is the thing I wanted to start off with, where you have a nine. I mean, if everything goes all the way through the season, if you project it, you might have a 90-game winning team not making the playoffs. And so that makes this three-headed monster, assuming that Toronto, and they don't have Springer, and I mean, like, they still don't have everybody, but
a lot of hitters.
They do, but, and they're really tough out, right? But assuming, and it, what if they get a hot, you might have three teams.
They're going to leave Florida, too.
Yes, and they'll go home. There's a couple things I want to get at. One is you might have a team win 90 and not make the playoffs. And the second part is you're really going to see whether home field advantage helps teams when they have full crowds that they haven't had in like almost 2 years. And that will make a difference for the teams that draw very well. And the other thing I want you to react to is, listen, the outside of a steady dose of Orioles, the Red Sox haven't had a ton of AL East games. They've had some with Toronto, but they're going to have a lot more with Tampa, and they have six in the next month, I think, with the Yankees. And so they start to play each other more, and that's going to get some separation, I think. And so that's the big thing, that they're going to beat each other up. They might have a 90-game winner, not make the playoffs. And obviously, when the fans come back, who does it help the most?
So the Yankees have played the Rays a good deal.
Right.
And the Yankees are going to play the Red Sox. So totally with you there. But the Yankees have had a little bit of more smattering to work with so far.
They've had more AL East than
exactly,
the Red Sox have.
Exactly. Talking to the who's going to have the advantage coming back with the fans. All right. Red Sox playing a smaller stadium, obviously. Tropicana Field sucks.
Nobody goes anyways.
I'm going to point back to the Yankees Astros series and the crowd that was there. And when they get the full capacity, which will be soon in New York because everybody's dropping like flies around the country. So it's only a matter of time. The Yankees fans were out of control there. And I feel like the team has, they've been 15-5 since then, including that series.
Yeah, you're going to look at that as a turning point.
I look at that right now as a turning point. Of that, and that plays right into what you said, the crowd advantage. I'm going to go with the Yankees on that just because they might be one of the last teams to kind of go back in that mix to full capacity. And, you know, the fans might just be crazier and, if you know, just more jacked up.
Do you think that when they start playing each other more, say the six games with the Yankees, Red Sox, then I think the Red Sox have a couple with Tampa sandwiched with some Kansas City. Six with Kansas City is going to be really helpful for the Red Sox. Well,
Kansas City was good at one point too.
Yeah, but
just like Seattle was good at one point.
Half of the season. I mean, when I look at all of that, I think the Red Sox home field has not been what it once was for Boston, and we'll see what kind of fan comes back. I just don't know what it's going to look like in terms of energy and intensity. You know, I haven't been at a full capacity since, I don't know, I went early in the 2019 season. I don't think I went late in the season, so it's been a while.
And when are they supposed to go back? There's no announcement yet?
No, I feel like it's going to be in June.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they just are now going back to the full, because I'm a season ticket holder. June 8th is when they're going to go back on full guns, I believe, because I have to start picking the games that I'm going to
take. Yeah, so it's only a matter of time before the Yankees do something and New York does something.
I think
so, too.
Like
we said, the All-Star break is going to be the end-all be-all. That's what I say.
Everybody.
Unless something crazy happens, I mean, we'd have to run the numbers, but I would say at least over a quarter of the teams already are full capacity.
So the only thing I wanted to ask you about with the Yankees, because I just obviously follow them pretty closely, almost as closely as the Red Sox, Aroldis Chapman finally had a bad outing.
Exactly. You love that. Look at the smirk on your face right now. For those who listen to this, Brian has got a great smirk right now.
But he was unhittable.
He was unhittable.
Yeah,
so it had to happen.
And then, you can't go a whole season without blowing a save. But after that, I don't see where the holes are. I mean, it seems like when one of the high-end guys
the pitching
gets hurt,
has been unbelievable.
Stanton stumbles, he gets hurt.
But it's that's not even a big deal all of a sudden. No one's even concerned about it right now.
That's the thing the Yankees seem to have right now, the last few years, that they have six bona fide A-list hitters, and they can have one or two of them struggling at any one time and still do really
well.
What's
helping them right now, too, obviously Gleyber's playing really well. Gleyber's playing awesome. Judge is playing good. Pitching is great. But, Andujar is in the lineup. He's helping him because Frazier's not doing anything. Hicks is hurt. Is hurt, right? But the guys like that, the Tyler Wades, the Andujars, Andujar, no one even remembered him last year because he was not even a factor. The guy was a runner-up for Rookie of the Year. Well, not runner-up. He was with Gleyber and when Ohtani won it.
So now you got to look at, what does the team need?
They could definitely use another outfielder, I would think. The center field worries me. Gardner's not going to be your guy. Frazier is sketchy right now. Frazier has a lot of potential, right? But he's just not doing it right now. So, are you going to win a World Series with that lineup?
Well, at some point, you got to take more of the at-bats away from him.
Yeah, and you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to make a trade. You're going to have to get an outfielder because you're not going to win with your center field situation right now, in my opinion. You're just not. Stanton's your DH. He's not going to play the outfield because of... he's already got a calf problem, right?
Yeah, he's a DH.
He's a DH. So just pencil him at DH. So as long as Voit is in the lineup, he's at first base.
Right.
So you have no more room for the big guy. You have to figure out... You got to get somebody that's going to get on base and play outfield for you.
Right. And the question is, what teams are going to start to throw in the towel and who's going to be available.
We could say that now. It's still super early. A lot of things can change. The Yankees pitching could go totally south. Someone could get hurt. You never know. But as I look at the team now, that's what I see. Right. Pitching is great right now. Cole is Cole. The guy, Kluber threw a no-hitter. Herman has looked like he's throwing Looney Tune pitches. Montgomery is very solid.
Montgomery's your third or fourth, right? Right. If he's your third or fourth, you're doing really well.
He's your worst starter right now,
Whereas the number one for the Red Sox, Eduardo Rodriguez, or if you call him the number one, he's been struggling. So, I don't know if and when Chris Sale's going to come back, but that would be a huge
boost. Same thing with Severino.
If he can pitch decent. So now I want to transition to the minors because just really quickly, we both live in Connecticut, as our listeners and viewers know.
Speaking of crowds.
And I've been to two Yard Goats games, including one against the AA affiliate of the Yankees.
Me too. So you were there when they had the restrictions lifted because they lifted them on the 19th. You went to that game.
I went to the next game. Yeah, so I went on
Friday.
I believe, it was Friday the 19th. No, it was the 21st.
Yeah, and I went the 22nd.
So it was, first of all, they got outscored in a six-game
set
by 50-14.
Yeah.
It was awful baseball. They couldn't even field. In one game, I believe the one they lost 11-1, they had more errors than hits. Now, of course,
so they were losing by two when I was there, and it was we started walking underneath in the last inning, and they gave up seven runs in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, and so this is one of those things where, the environment, I'll just give my hot take real quick. It was great. Even in the eighth inning, when I went, they were down, I believe, 14-0. And there were still a lot of people there, and the energy was good. And I think just people are starved to be out and about. It was weird. There was a 45-minute wait at the barbecue spot for concessions.
You can clearly see that the pandemic has hurt everybody, and it's hurt minor league baseball. They've cut back.
Absolutely.
So I went
there 2 years ago. There's definitely fewer staff.
Absolutely. 110%. So you would think if you got box seats above a dugout, someone would be around to wipe them down, right? Let's see, there's no one in sight to do that. They said people are coming through to pick up trash, which they promote, and it's two people in the whole bottom bowl go through.
Now, did you go maskless?
I didn't have a mask, and my kids wore a mask because they had to, technically. But if you were not, if you were vaccinated, you didn't have to. But nobody
but
was
nobody
checking.
Checked, so no, I mean, I exactly. was surprised at how many people were without. I would say like over 80% of the people there were not wearing a mask.
Yeah,
I doubt 80% of people there have been vaccinated. So
no,
but it's weird. Like I find like I'm.
It's
not
almost like it never happened.
But it's for me, it's not like that because I'm not a super duper conservative person. I'm not a germaphobe. But being out and about near people I don't know is a new thing for me.
It's definitely different.
And it felt strange. But it was, I think people just liked being at the ballpark.
The energy was great. They were doing the wave. I mean, the crowd was totally into it the whole time. Oh. You could look around and you could see that people were having a good time. Like legit. Having a good time.
It was. I want to tell a story. It was a left fielder, it was a switch hitter left fielder for Somerset, who's 25, and he's batting like 180, and he's not going to make the bigs. And,
you already penciled them in. For...
Well, I mean, I remember from Moneyball when they were talking about a trade. They were talking about this one guy. They're like 26, double A. No, they're like no, not going to happen. And I think that when I think about that, but my son wanted to go to left field. And we went to left field because he wanted to get a ball. And we went there, and the guy in left field, it was a third out, and his name is Isaiah Gilliam. And we screamed his name, and I pointed at my son. He threw the ball. I mean, I'm always amazed from 50,
how they
60
can throw
feet,
it right there.
Right to him. Like
I
there
know.
Were groups on either side of us,
yep.
and he threw it right to him.
Yep.
And he got the ball, and like, my son was so excited, and like that's the stuff where minor leagues can really make it or break it. And then I tweeted at the guy. I took a picture of Max as the guy was running in, and I tweeted at the guy, and I just thanked him. And then he tweets back. He's like, you know, make sure he remembers me when he makes the bigs, or you know, some really
right.
You know, obviously my kid's not making the bigs, but like a great throwaway, and like that's what.
Yeah, but that's what baseball is about,
oh,
especially minor league baseball.
I mean, it was just so cool. So the fact that you know minor leagues, it wasn't full capacity, but it was not a sellout. So we just walked, the line for the barbecue in left field was too long. We walked to left field and we just sat there and watched a couple innings, and he got a ball. I mean, and that kid is now, and the hook is in him, and he just wants to, now he wants to go to the yard goats every day.
Yeah. What I love about that stadium is you can walk all over the place and watch the game, and you could pretty much any time except for the major, major sellouts, you can sneak in and find a spot somewhere.
Totally.
So I want to tell you a little story about, you're talking about how they threw the ball, how he threw the ball to your son, right? So we went to an Orioles Yankees game, and Bobby Dickerson was their base coach at Orioles at the time. So he got us like field passes.
So you were in Baltimore.
In Baltimore. And we had field passes. So the way it works is, you know, you're behind home plate and you get roped off, and you
right.
can kind of go behind home plate. So the Yankees on the visiting side and the Orioles over here. So we're hanging out with the Orioles
this
side.
Is pregame.
Pregame, yep. Batting practice. So the Yankees come out on their side and they're getting ready to go out and take the field for batting practice. And they're like on the side, kind of just throwing like warm ups, like just chucking. So Jeter and Cano are playing catch. Now, Jeter is probably, I want to say, 25 feet down past the third base dugout.
Okay.
All right. So that's like from home plate, that's probably what, 115 feet?
Yep.
Probably. Say 115 feet from home plate. Now, Cano is standing in a group of people. Now, there's just people standing around like, I am, like player passes, just hanging out, dude, just hanging out behind home plate, groups of people mingling and talking. And I'm not talking three or four people. I'm talking 15 to
sure.
You've been behind.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cano's standing there playing catch with him up towards the batter on deck circle.
So his behind him are a lot of people.
All around him are a lot of people. And these balls are coming. And they're talking, and it's getting to the point where it's so funny to them that they're literally like, Cano's holding his glove like this and the girl's talking, and Jeter's just like,
right.
Ooh, boom, right behind there. Their head. Every single throw. And it was never once did it look like either of them were once concerned that the ball was going to go astray and miss him or anything. And I'm sitting there, that many people were watching it, and I'm watching this, like, I'm pointing, and I saw my wife, I'm like, look at this. This is insane.
It's so funny you say that, because I think that watching long toss might be my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah.
Because they throw it at 50 yards or 40 yards, and it's right there almost every single time. I mean,
and it looks like they're not even trying.
Oh my gosh. That's why, like, even like when you watch maybe the two outfielders or the other outfielder with the bullpen catcher playing catch in between innings, like, I'm always just amazed. They're just casually hanging out, and it goes, boop, and sometimes they'll throw it on a dart, like they're going to make it like a throw into the cutoff, or sometimes they'll do it, you know, sky high. It always ends up chest, and that's it.
Right.
It's really incredible.
It's not like like watching the outfield warm-ups in Little League, that's for sure.
Well, me, like, I mean, I have such a wild arm. My release point's different on every throw. Like, I don't know where it's going.
Well, it just goes to show you how really good the athletes they are. Like, to do that constantly every time. You know, it's like a guy hitting a golf ball surrounded by a bunch of people that if he misses by this much, he's going to put a dent in their forehead.
We'd be crapping our pants.
Right.
And he just steps up. And it's
like it's nothing.
Well, it's actually a good segue. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shack, but this is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You know, there are some names of guys, I will admit it. You talk about transition from the minors. Probably 2 years ago, they were in the minors. I don't even know some of these guys who are making a name for themselves early on with some really incredible numbers. And I don't know any of them. And you did a little bit of a deep dive on a couple of these guys.
Well, I mean, the big three are Jesse Winker.
Who's Jesse Winker? Is he with the Cardinals?
Cincinnati Reds.
I know there's a team with red in it.
They're known for Joey Votto, right?
And right.
That's about it, right? The big red machine, but they haven't been doing much in a long time. But Winker, 355, 13 home runs, 28 RBIs. He's insane. He's really good. I mean, he's not high up on the RBIs as opposed to Devers got like 39 or something.
Right.
You know, he's like the top of the league.
But most people have never heard of the guy.
Never heard of him.
And is it because he's in Cincy? Because I read a little bit. I mean, he had a good last season. In the shortened season, he was really good too.
He's one of these guys that just like, he just finds it,
right,
I guess.
So give me two other names of guys
Mercedes,
that I don't know about.
Mercedes
who?
From White Sox. The guy who hit the 3-0 bullpen pitcher home run.
That's the guy?
Yeah.
Well, now, of course, he padded his stats.
But he's 28 years old, dude.
Where's he been?
Must be hitting BP home runs in the minor. I don't know. Like, he just shows up. He's one of those guys, I guess, is late boomer. Like Carl Everett was like that. Remember Carl Everett? He went from the Yankees to the Red Sox, broke up Mussina's perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of those guys who got good at like 28 years old. And he was good, really good for like 5 years. And then
they dropped off the table.
Then
he was a crazy guy.
The testosterone shots wore off.
They called him Jurassic Carl. He didn't believe in evolution. I don't know what that guy was doing. But all right, give me one more.
And Adolis Garcia, outfielder for Texas. 14 home runs, 38 RBIs. He's right at the top. 291 average. Not as high as Yermín Mercedes is 347 average.
But listen, anybody batting over 275 in this Major League Baseball is hitting great.
So here, the thing is, though, now, in May, towards the end of May, that's what they're doing. Now, we do this podcast towards the end of the season. We got to remember these three names. Jesse Winker, Mercedes, and Garcia.
You keep your notes.
Where will they be? Yeah, I usually do keep my notes. I didn't look as much as I needed to. I should have on these guys, but, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, I think part of what we want to do is, I mean,
see if they can hold it.
When you emailed me or texted me these names, I heard of Jesse Winker because I saw a bunch of people tweeting about
him
on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I literally had never heard of him, and I don't pay as much attention to middling teams in the NL, but I know since he has had some good offense and some stretches this season, and I just so Jesse Winker, what's Mercedes?
Yermin
Mercedes,
yeah. And Adolis Garcia. So speaking of Mercedes, what's your take on that with the whole Tony La Russa unwritten rules?
I know that, you know, he's a weird.
Did you see CC Sabathia on his podcast?
What did he say?
He just went crazy. I sent that to you. Did you see that? I mean,
I saw the tweet. Yeah, I saw that.
He went nuts.
So here's
the thing.
He
basically said he was a dinosaur. He needs to get out of the game.
Who, La Russa?
Yeah.
So my thing is, like, I know, like, there's some people on social media, like Jared Carabas and stuff for Barstool, who, like, love the bat flip, and they tweet out videos of every great bat flip, and they grade them and all this. And I guess it makes the game interesting for some. Like, I don't like it. I do feel like if a guy's on the mound and pitching, it's like in football. If you're up 40 points and a running back gets handed the ball, he's got to run hard or he might get hurt. I mean, you have to play the game. When you're in the game, you have to play the game. Now, could he have laid off it and maybe would have been a little more respectful? Sure. If a manager's going to put a guy on the mound, I don't have a problem with the guy swinging necessarily, but if he showboats or bat flips on it or whatever.
He didn't do that,
no,
though.
It's funny because I'm more old school about stuff like the bat flip, but the guy hit a home run. It's going to help him probably in arbitration down the road, and I don't have a big problem with it. The manager of the other team, and the other guy actually, a couple weeks before, had thrown it before. I mean, I think it might have been Minnesota because they really struggled, and he struck a guy out on some of those 55-mile-an-hour pitches, and I don't know. I don't have a huge problem with it. Now, is La Russa out of touch? Absolutely. He doesn't even know the rule book 100%. So I never loved La Russa anyway, so it doesn't make me want to defend him. But I really didn't have a huge problem, even though I kick it more old school than not. I didn't have a huge problem.
Yeah, so why do you have to have a pitcher a position player pitching there. Like, you have pitchers on your staff. If you're that concerned about a guy hitting a home run off, you put a pitcher in there.
So you were cool with it?
Yeah. I mean, you guys, they're Major League Baseball players, right? What does you expect him to go up there and do?
Yeah, I really don't think
those guys are paid to hit baseballs. They're not paid to walk. They're not paid to play unwritten rules. They're paid to hit baseballs.
If
you're a guy that's 28 years old and you're having a season like that, I mean, Jesus, dude, this might be this dude's only shot to get a contract.
And he
stays relevant.
You know, the funny thing is,
and his whole team backed him up.
When you look at the stats, whether it's arbitration or in contract negotiations, I doubt they'll say, "Oh, but that one of those." If he has 30 home runs, they're like, "Well, it was really 29."
Right, because he hit that throw pitch over.
They're not going to do that, and so I don't blame him for it. I thought it was another, like, the media. Sometimes we have nothing to do and we have no controversy.
Yeah, talk about something.
Now, La Russa being a dinosaur is a good topic.
Well, he came like right out. Like, La Russa brought it on himself more than anything.
He threw his player under the bus.
Exactly.
I think one thing that I am. Another thing that I like in old school is, like, you don't have to do that in the media necessarily. There are some things where I think calling out players in the media is important and they should be held accountable, but, like, keep it in the clubhouse. Tell them not to do it again.
That seems like a very easy thing to handle, too. Just be like, come on, guy. You know, like, look at you. Don't you think your stats are good enough right now? You're going to have another chance at a home run. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Or maybe have your base coach give him the take signal, and if he blows through it, then he gets fined. Sounds like they didn't give him a take. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. So one more take before we go.
Okay.
There's been 6 no-hitters this year, right? Your prediction on how many no-hitters are thrown this season?
Well, I don't think there's going to be 12. I think it's going to slow down. And I think that with the shift and other things, I think maybe managers will get crafty and bunt or whatever. I mean, the record, I think, in the monitor is 7.
Yep.
Do I think there will be another one? Yes, I do. Do I think it'll be, if I were to lay out an over-under for you, we'd do it right now, the over-under would be 10.
I was going to say 10. That's exactly what I was going to say, 10.
So would you take the over or the under? That's the over under the Vegas.
I know.
The over under will be 10.
I was gonna say there's gonna be 10. So I gotta pick one.
But now you gotta pick one.
Oh.
I'm taking the under.
All right, I guess I go over then. I mean, you don't want to do both.
So
I'm gonna go on record as saying 10, but I'll pick the over.
And I agree. This is another one where I like no hitters when they mean something. I think it shows how brutal the hitting philosophy is in this league. And I don't think they should. We talked about this last time. I don't think they should, you know, legislate the shift out of baseball. But I do. I'm getting more warmed up to the moving the mound back and then making that the way it is all the way down to college. I really do think that it's like in hockey. I think they should go to Olympic sized rinks in all the NHL arenas because everyone's bigger, stronger, and faster than they were 30 years ago. And now, if guys are pitching 100, if the average MPH of fastballs in Major League Baseball is 95, like, you got to give these. If you want the hitters not to strike out or hit home
runs,
where
are they going to move it back to? 65?
No, what is it now? 66?
60 feet, 6 inches.
So I even think if you do it like
62?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be much to give them that millisecond to be able to decide. And then I think you would actually get more balls sprayed to more fields, and then you get maybe more classic hitting because you'd have, now it's basically guess and launch angle. Guess and launch angle. I mean, some of these athletes, I mean, like Ohtani, are just amazing, but I would like to take that guess and launch angle thing out of it.
Yeah.
And maybe someday you'll have to back it up again, but I actually think if you make the rule change, you have to make it in the bigs, in the minors, and in college.
Yeah, if it's, I mean, some of these guys, they must be guessing pretty damn good then.
No, I just think it's, I mean, I can't turn on 65.
No.
And I was a decent hitter.
I just don't get how some of these guys hit these pitches. I mean, I saw Kluber pitching the other night. He had, look, Looney Tune pitches, but I see guys hitting the ball out of the park every night on pitches that look like that.
Like JD Martinez, and I mean, like, that's when
the balls that Acuna hits sometimes.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I saw Tatuve turned on a Chad Green fastball. It was like 97 above his eyes, and he hit it out against the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are you for or against?
Moving the mound back?
Yeah. You're against
it. I'm against it, dude. I mean, baseball is the way it is. Just let them play. These guys are getting crazy stats as it is. What scares me is the fact that, like, what Kevin Pillar had, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, it's not a problem, but that happens, and it happens. It doesn't happen a lot. It happens, like, once every 3 or 4 years where you get drilled really bad. But it's scary, dude. But is that 3 feet going to make the difference of him getting out of the way of that? I don't know.
I do.
Some stuff it might.
Until the average MPH is 100 and there are guys topping at 105. I mean, I think
they
always thought there were physics limiting MPH. Like, I thought, like, with Nolan Ryan, I was like, okay, well, like, 105 is as fast
like
as anyone ever.
You can't throw any faster. Right,
like, physically, the ergonomics, the physics.
Right.
And so now they're sort of pushing that envelope. And so now if everyone gets Tommy John and that arm is, you know, like a spring-loaded, I don't know what the upside is. So I do think that if it's one of those things where you might just have to do it.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell. Only time will tell. The only time will tell. The Yankees and Red Sox are going to play soon, but will they be neck and neck? We'll see.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are more talented, but I think that the Red Sox certainly can.
They're
hit
not
their,
rolling over.
They
dude.
Can hit their way out of.
They're not rolling
a lot
over.
Of problems. So he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Listen, wherever you're watching us on YouTube or you're listening to us, keep doing it. Share it, like it, listen to it. Spotify, Apple. Where else are we?
iHeartRadio. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time on Fanbase: A Deep Dive into the Greatest Rivalry in Sports.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.